E1, number 38B.
Could you do something bigger than that to answer the same question? Yes, you see, you could, can you see? Even there, you can see according to where your consciousness is, you could say, yes, if I start with the one infinite principle and see there is only one infinite principle, and you say to yourself, but do I know what that is? Then you really touch the law of divine science, and you take mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love as the law in divine science, so that you would really elaborate now the law. See? Can you see? The moment you begin to think in terms of laws, and no more just in answering individual arguments, and that depends on your state, on your consciousness, on your present state of consciousness. What has been said first, that we go to Christian Science as the world, is absolutely right, because it answers what principle is. But I also could see it as an isness law, that I say, oh, I don't care what that patient has been saying. It's always the same big lie, you know. Anyway, I sit back and I know what's going on in being. And in being, I just see that one infinite principle, which is always the infinite principle, and that's that. And then something in me may say, yes, that's a wonderful statement. Do you know what you say? And I could come to the law of science itself and say, yes, I know very well what I say, because that one infinite principle is really, and then I go through the law of science itself, is really mind, which is its own infinite mind. Is really mind, which is its own infinite spirit. And I know what that means, because I know the synonymous terms. And so you could go right for half an hour through that law, you see? And according to how tangible, spiritually tangible this law is to you, you may end with love is its own infinite love, and that's that. And you may feel right at peace at that very moment. May not need anything more. Only then, when in that atmosphere, somehow something creeps up that raises its voice against it, then you go further. Then you go further. And that voice that may come up to you may be that within yourself, when you have stated that law, that perhaps something says within you and say, yes, that's only theory, but not practical. That's all theory. Do you know that argument? I guess you know it, huh? It says, that's only theory, and that's not practical. What do you do then if such a little devil creeps up within you and tries to destroy your whole treatment, your whole beautiful treatment? What can you do? What would you say, huh? That it operates in isness? Would you say that? When you say this is only theoretical, not practical?
Oneness.
The Christ column, or right through the Christ column, yeah? That's fine, Sue. I don't have anything against it. An interjecting question. What is that argument that says it's theory but not practical? What do they mean with practical? You have to have the outcome in the human, huh? Can you see, the moment they say practical, they mean It has no relation to the human or to the material, huh? Or to the erroneous condition. And what is that? That's level of Christian Science anyway, huh? So you would have to go down to the level of Christian Science anywhere, somewhere, and would land where, for instance? You could land at different points.
Well, in the Christ...
Yeah, I think that's the most relevant one, huh? That the Christ translation says, well, the Christ does come to an erroneous situation, huh? The Christ is that divine manifestation which comes to error, to incarnate error, huh? To the flesh, to destroy incarnate error. That's what they call practical, huh? Usually.
Well, in translating it from a theoretical question, in Christ on absolute Christian Science,
yes?
Couldn't you say that the truth is individually adapted to every situation?
Yes.
Doesn't that make it, instead of remaining theoretical, a practical thing?
Well, that depends. That depends on what. That's why I asked this question. What do we mean by practical? Huh? If we mean by practical that it must have its impact on the body, on the material, then naturally it's Christian Science. If your sense of is it practical is a higher sense of practice, namely, does it manifest itself as specific ideas, then you have absolute Christian Science. That's why perhaps what Sue said is taking in all, huh? That if I have done this wonderful law up here on the level of science itself, that being is its own infinite being, and have stated that so wonderfully, and if then still something creeps up and says, but that's up on cloud 9 and that's not down here on earth, then you could easily just run down the Christ column, huh? And come right down and say, no, this is the one and only truth that exists. This law. You see now, the law you have been using, huh? It's a 7x7 law on the level of science itself, say, is now your consciousness. And if the little devil says that consciousness is not practical, it's ethereal, it's up in heaven, it's not down to earth, something with you just rouses up and says, you little devil, I tell you, huh? This what I have been conscious of is the only truth there is, the one and only truth there is. There is no other truth. And you may go right down to absolute Christian Science and says, and this one and only truth has within itself the power to deal with any specific situation. Truth, life and love. And it can deal with any specific situation because, and then you come to the Christ in Christian Science and say, this can deal with any specific situation because this principle has a terrific, irrepressible life power in itself. And you can take all that power sense that has an enormous life power in itself, has that enormous dynamic power in itself. It's that power which nothing can suppress. It's irrepressible, it's irresistible. And you get the sense that this truth power, it knows what it knows, it affirms what it knows. It's an affirming power, a claiming power. And as love, it wants to save, it enforces the salvation. It isn't just playing around, it's a total engagement of power to save. And you get the sense in soul that this power to save is identifying itself even in the objective universe, because it's the power of identification, and therefore can clear up everything that needs to be cleared up, and can destroy what needs to be destroyed. And so you get the sense of mind as a power of manifestation in spite of every resistance, in spite of mortal mind resistance, human mind resistance, of the resistance of ignorance or whatever it is. And you get a terrific sense that, especially through soul, spirit and mind, really no opposite power can stand the ground. And then perhaps you have felt that power so much that at this point you just finish, huh? You just feel, this is it.
Can you go into Christianity from the divine side of Christianity?
Yes. 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 You mean, when I asked, let's go back so that we know where we are, and especially those who have the tapes, we were thinking on the level of science itself, in the law of the one infinite principle, and the argument that could come up was that something said, this is not practical. And so you would say that, when we say that we could see, no, this law is the only truth there is. So you come to truth. And then what did you say when you are in truth?
Switch over to Christianity.
And why?
Well, because right away then we work with life and love and...
You mean with Christianity in absolute Christian science?
Yes, and then carry it right through.
Yeah, but you can do anything. But the main thing is that you would tell me the argument that comes up. See, the argument, the whisper, actually the whisper of the devil or the whisper of the angel determine where you go. You can go anywhere, but it only really deals with the question if the arguments are met, the arguments that are really there, you see.
But then you're working with the outcome. You've already established the fact that truth is...
Okay. So you are at the truth, the one truth in divine science, and now you go on in the treatment and you see that this is the one and only truth, and now?
It has to evidence itself.
Has to evidence itself.
Yes?
Yes? Okay. You see how you interfere with the flow. You say, it has to. I said, there is no must. There is no must in it, huh? See, what you say is right in the general system. There the Christ must have an outcome. There it must. In the treatment there is no must. In the treatment there is no must that it must have an outcome. You have to listen. Can you see why it is? See, all these hours which we do these questions are only because of one thing, namely that you listen. Not that you impose your knowledge on the treatment. That's the difficulty. See, don't impose your knowledge of being on your treatment. It's wrong. It's wrong. Because then you take the flow into your own hands instead of letting the divine idea tell us, either positively or through its counterfeit, tell us what needs to be handled. Can you see what I want to say? Huh? And we also see why we have such difficulty with such a simple thing. I tell you why. Because the teaching of Christian Science has been so that it has always told people to argue, to have arguments of truth against error. So the student of Christian Science has always taken his destiny in his own hands. And I said, I know that the truth about this is this. I know that the truth about fear is love. I know that the truth about death is life. So the Christian Scientist has been miseducated in dealing always with single statements. Not with a structural consciousness. The moment you have structure, you have a new paradigm, you have a new attitude in treatment, you let the structure tell you what to do. You let the structure tell you what to do. Can you see that?
Yes.
And so we are no more imposing all our knowledge which we have on the situation. It's good to build up a structure consciousness, to build it up through the system. But structure is system seen from inside. See? Structure is infinitely variable, whereas system is given, is a fixed, is given. See, the system of Christian Science, like what we have, the categories, this is fixed. We can't change the categories. We can't say, no, there is not the category of the four sides of the city. We can't say, no, there is not the category of the seven synonymous term to define the nature of God. We can't say that. That is fixed, and that we have to learn. Now comes the variable. The structure within that system is constantly different. That's why each one of us is different. Each one of us in our life has a different structure. No one does the same what the other does. No one feels the same as the other feels. No one has the same mission as the other has. So each one has within the same system a different structure. So treatment structurally, therefore, is taking that attitude that you let the idea tell me where thought has to flow. But because is thought is instructed in knowing what is truth, it can flow to the right direction. Yes?
Is that, letting it flow, is it opposite?
Opposite of what?
Letting go yourself.
Yes, yes. To let it flow and to listen is to let go of yourself as a human knower of the system. As a knower of the system, you let yourself go. And you are in a state, therefore, of receiving, conceiving. You conceive the idea, and you let the idea, when it is conceived, to grow and to develop and to mature until you come to a point of true identity where you feel within yourself satisfaction, and that's the end of the treatment. Yeah? Yes. Why did it come to that point? Oh, yes, because we were seeing that in this case, we naturally thought could flow differently than we had it according to the argument that could rise up. Yes. But, yeah, that was the point that I said, according to the argument that comes up and not according to what I know the system is. Huh? So because I would always, if I would give that treatment that way, according to the system, then I would always, if I touch the Christ, say, now must come Christianity. And after Christianity must come science. You see, that's the way the system is built. But in treatment, it doesn't work that way. It's so unique a treatment. Can you see why one feels that a treatment is something very holy? It's not something that you accomplish, so to say, with your understanding. It's something completely holy, because any human motion has to go out. No human motion has a say in it. And that's why it is holy, because holy means, I think if I interpret it right, holy means that only the divine has a say in it. That only the divine can move in such a consciousness. And not even our human understanding can move any more in it. I think that's why Jesus so often would go up on his mount and alone, and be alone and pray. And when he had prayed, he came down and then he healed. He always had first, so to say, to fill his thought completely with that which is holy, so that out of that completion of the divine consciousness, he could do the works.